You chanted a very intimate song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjavi Gopi Janabhava Giribhata. That song gives a very intimate snapshot of the topmost portion of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And in that topmost abode, where everyone and everything focuses upon Krishna, the Jamuna River, the trees, the grass, everything focuses upon Krishna. Especially because everything is someone. As you know, there is no matter. Everything is someone, a devotee. And the center of attraction for all the devotees is Krishna. He's the center of attraction for Mother Yashoda, for the cowherd boys, for the gopis, and especially for the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavanishri, Srimati Radha. Let us discuss the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Lacking this knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth, we become impersonalists. Our heart remains very rigid, in spite of religious sentiments, religious conceptions. Our heart does not really melt until we understand what is the nature of the ultimate source. The ultimate source is the prime enjoyer and the prime reciprocator of love. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and his eternal companion, Srimati Radharani, is the prime reciprocator of loving exchanges. She reciprocates Krishna's advances. Now, those of you not so conversant in the Supreme Absolute Truth would wonder, how can the Supreme Absolute Truth source personified, Supreme Personality of Godhead, how can he make advances? But the spiritual energy is full of variety. We'll not let go of our attachment to material life and its miserable varieties, its hallucinatory varieties, until we actually can appreciate that the spiritual world is full of variety, unlimited variety, although none of the varieties are material. So therefore, why should not the Supreme Personality of Godhead make advances towards his energy? In material life, people like to make advances toward one another. They like to make advances toward material acquisition. So they are tiny parts of Krishna trying to imitate Krishna in such a pathetic way. Now, just because our advances are pathetic doesn't mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is doomed to make no advances. Only out of envy will we deny Krishna his enjoying propensities. Why are we envious? Because we fail in our loving exchanges, and therefore we don't want to admit that the Supreme Absolute Truth has unlimitedly successful loving affairs. Our envy rebels. How can that be true? It must be mythology. This Radha Krishna. This must be some kind of Hindu mythology. But then we take our own pathetic attempts to enjoy. We take that so seriously. We would be insulted if someone called our attempts to enjoy mythological. A profound understanding of the supreme absolute truth is necessary, so that we'll concede that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. If Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, what does he enjoy? Just think about that. Far beyond understanding God as the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer, is understanding the supreme personality of God as a supreme enjoyer. But then, what does he enjoy? Radha and Krishna are the exchange of love. The supreme absolute truth is one, but eternally is divided. That oneness is divided into the enjoyer and the enjoyed. Understanding this, you can free yourself from the pathetic, miserable attempt to enjoy the material energy. Actually, as you've heard so many times, Krishna is the only male. Everyone else is female, meaning everyone is the energy, the Shakti. And Krishna is the only possessor and enjoyer of the energy. Yet, the Vedas explain Shakti, Shakti Mato Aveda. Actually, the Shakti, the energy, and the possessor of the energy are one and the same. Is this some kind of word jugglery? First we say they're different, then we say they're the same. Consider the example of a cow and milk. Without the cow, milk has no existence. So in that sense, the milk is the same as the cow. Yet, if you boil the milk, you're not boiling the cow. So they are one and different. This is a practical example from our experience of achincha bheda bheda tattva. Understanding the supreme absolute truth as both one and different at the same time. Krishna is his energy, and then again he's different from his energy. Now, how are you going to understand that with your material intelligence? Your material intelligence can only go one side or the other. Krishna is the same as everything. Krishna is different from everything. But to understand that Krishna is simultaneously one with everything and different, that is achincha, that's inconceivable. You can only enter into that understanding by spiritual methods. That understanding is meant for the devotees who, through devotional service, understand, have a feel for, and even have an experience of these ultimate realizations of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So Radha and Krishna are one, yet they are eternally separate. One is the enjoyer, the other is the enjoyed. The nature of Srimati Radharani is that she is the most expert in reciprocating to Krishna's loving advances. Obviously, Krishna never makes the mistake of trying to enjoy the material energy. That mistake is our department. So unconsciously, we're thinking, why shouldn't Krishna make the same mistake? He should be doomed like us. But no, in the song Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, we hear about Krishna's perfect enjoying world. Perfect enjoying world means that Krishna always gets the best love. This is what we want. This is why we struggle in material existence. Our hearts want the best love. Yet Krishna effortlessly has that. He has perfect reciprocation. Not only just one kind of love, as Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, Krishna is not stuck up with just one kind of love. We're so desperate, if we just get one kind of love, we my life is so sublime. I've got one kind of love for a few days or a few years. But Krishna has varieties of love. Yet, Srimati Radharani is the foremost lover of Krishna. Krishna is the subject and the best object of his loving advances is Srimati Radharani, who is unlimitedly qualified to fulfill Krishna's desires. Let us consider what happens in Vrindavan, in the topmost portion of the spiritual world, which has its facsimile even in the material world. When Krishna presents his pastimes to the vision of the material world, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna's special energy, Yogamaya, bewilders Krishna and also bewilders Krishna's devotees, so that Krishna forgets himself. He forgets all about his supremacy and he becomes captivated by the loving charms of his most intimate devotees. And Srimati Radharani is the most intimate devotee. The Yogamaya makes the devotees forget all about Krishna's supremacy, and they treat Krishna as their intimate companion. And Krishna, due to the influence of his own Yogamaya, forgets about his omnipotency. And he becomes bewildered by Srimati Radharani. And she knows Krishna's life can never be complete without her presence. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasi Thakur explains that at the Rasa Stali, at the place of Krishna's Ras Lila, Krishna was there with his countless consorts, all expansions of his spiritual energy. And then his topmost consort, Srimati Radharani, appears. And she's looking. What is this? Krishna is enjoying with all my associates, but how can they fulfill Krishna in the way I can? So therefore, she knows exactly what to do. She leaves. And Krishna drops his dancing with the other consorts, and he also leaves. In this way, Krishna is showing that without Srimati Radharani, he is not complete. Although the glories of his other consorts have no comparison to anything, even slightly in our experience, yet still, the reciprocation shown by Krishna's foremost consort, Srimati Radharani, is such that Krishna will drop everything and pursue her. Now remember, she's Krishna's own energy. So in that way, Krishna is always Atmarama. He's always self-satisfied. He never goes outside of himself. Just think, whenever you want to enjoy, you have to depend on so many situations and conditions outside of yourself, so many persons who are outside of you. And that's why you get frustrated. That's why you want to control, so that things and persons outside of you will reciprocate with you properly, according to your vision. So you will be satisfied. But Krishna never has to go outside of himself. Everything is his energy. Everyone is his energy. So even though Krishna leaves the Rasastali to pursue Srimati Radharani, he's still self-sufficient. This is the mystery of Vrindavan. By the influence of the Yoga Maya potency. Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. Therefore, the real chief of Vrindavan, as you know, is Srimati Radharani. Now let us discuss the mercy and compassion of Srimati Radharani. Remember, Radha Krishna means the exchange of love. So not only is Srimati Radharani exchanging her love with Krishna, but she's transmitting the loving devotional service of all the devotees. She's transmitting that to Krishna. Because she is uniquely and unlimitedly qualified in loving Krishna, she has the mercy and compassion to convey the loving desires of all the devotees to Krishna. Therefore, devotees, strive to capture the attention of Srimati Radharani so that she'll recommend us to Krishna. Krishna is her property, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of all energies, has become bewildered and under the influence of the topmost emblem of ecstatic love, his own energy, Srimati Radharani. So therefore, she has the qualification to recommend devotees to Krishna, because Krishna is under her control due to her pure love. So that's why devotees strive through devotional service to capture the attention of Srimati Radharani. Because what she says goes. She'll recommend a devotee to Krishna, saying to Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada explained so famously, she'll say to Krishna, "This devotee is better than me. You're so attached to me, but this devotee is better. Please accept this devotee." So that is our topmost aspiration. That is our highest goal in life. How, through parampara, to capture the attention of Srimati Radharani, because she has captured Krishna. A devotee is always appealing to the mercy of Srimati Radharani, to her compassion. Krishna is your property. Can you please be pleased with my service and recommend me to Krishna? Krishna is yours. You can see the same understanding in another song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wherein he says, Krishna Sekto Mara, Krishna Dite Paro. Krishna, you are the property of your devotee. Therefore, I'm running after the devotee shouting Krishna, Krishna. He doesn't say I'm running after Krishna shouting Krishna, Krishna. He says I'm running after the devotee shouting Krishna, Krishna. In that way, through parampara, especially because we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're all pursuing the mercy of the devotee, the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. Even Krishna himself wonders about that mercy, that compassion. And therefore, Krishna understands that as long as he's in the position of Krishna, he can't understand Srimati Radharani's mercy. He can't understand her compassion. So then you might say, is there something that Krishna doesn't understand? Yes. Ask Krishna from the position of being the enjoyer. He can't understand the mercy and compassion of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he decides, I'll come in that position. I'll come as my own devotee and taste the mercy and compassion that she is the reservoir of. In that way, Krishna is still the supreme enjoyer because he takes up the position of Srimati Radharani. Krishna is thinking, my enjoyment is unparalleled, yet I think she enjoys better than me, even though she's not in the position of the enjoyer. Therefore, let me take the position of Srimati Radharani. This is how exalted Srimati Radharani is, that Krishna himself wonders, what's it like? What's that position? I think she's getting more than me. How can that be, though? It's a mystery to Krishna, but he solves that mystery by coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As you know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayani. Lord Chaitanya is Radha Krishna combined. Radha and Krishna, they are eternally separate. The Supreme Absolute Truth is eternally separate as Radha and Krishna and eternally combined as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The only way that we can understand Srimati Radharani is actually by going through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his Shikshastika prayers, he ends by describing specifically the attitude of Srimati Radharani. Krishna, you may treat me nicely, so to speak, or you may make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Whatever, you're my worshipable Lord unconditionally. To understand Srimati Radharani's feelings of separation from Krishna, we need to understand the dynamics of pure love. How Krishna himself, as the prime enjoyer, generates enthusiasm to be with his parts. To increase that enthusiasm, though, separation is essential to enhance that enthusiasm of the parts to be with the whole. So you might say, into the whole package of Vrindavan loving affairs, Krishna adds this enhancer, relationship enhancer, separation, which in the material world is the most dreaded thing. When you've got a good loving affair going, maybe you can remember in your teenage days, the last thing you wanted as a 14, 15, or 16-year-old was to be separated from the beloved. Yet, in the topmost portion of the spiritual world, the topmost relationship enhancer is separation. Krishna explained this as Gopi Jana Balava. He explained this to the gopis. I can't repay you for all your service, even if I had the lifetime of Brahma. Therefore, what can I do? I'll leave you. Doesn't make sense to us in our material mentality. If I have pleased someone, we think, in the way the material world works, if I please someone, you're pleased with me, stick around. But how is it that someone says, I'm so pleased by what you've done, your service, I'm indebted, therefore goodbye. But these are the arrangements of the dynamics of spiritual existence. The ultimate relationship enhancer is not meeting, but separation. Meeting with Krishna lacks the sense of anticipation that separation has. So Krishna knows how to blend all these components into the most ecstatic experiences. And then he comes as his own devotee, taking on the emotions of Srimati Radharani. He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste, what is this separation from me like? What do my devotees go through? Especially, what does my topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani, what does she go through when I leave her? I want to taste that. So that is Lord Chaitanya. He's Krishna taking the role, the position, the emotions of Srimati Radharani, and his prime portfolio is to experience separation from Krishna. During the day in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya does Harinam with his devotees. He goes to the Jagannath temple. He bathes in the sea. So during the day, he's able to distract himself, so to speak, through various activities with the devotees. He's able to distract himself from the omnipresent reality of separation from Krishna because he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes people ask, what is in the heart of Lord Chaitanya? The heart of Lord Chaitanya is the repository of emotions of Srimati Radharani. So during the day, he's able to exist without being overpowered by the feelings of separation from Krishna that Srimati Radharani experiences. But at night, he's not able to distract himself, so to speak. And he becomes overrun, overwhelmed with feelings of separation from Krishna, just as Krishna's dearmost consort feels. In that way, Krishna becomes most successful in his taking up the role, the emotions, the position of Srimati Radharani. That is Krishna's ultimate success. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's done it. He has had the ultimate, he has the ultimate experience of sampling what is it that his topmost devotee feels and goes through in relation to him. The Vedas say, Rasovaisa, Krishna is the ocean of all loving flavors. As the subject of loving affairs, Krishna, the ocean of loving affairs, interacts with the object, Srimati Radharani. Krishna has that immeasurable capacity for loving flavors. And she has that immeasurable capacity to reciprocate with Krishna. In that way, the two are inseparable. The ocean of rasa, the ocean of loving affairs, and the ocean of reciprocation to those affairs, reciprocation to all those flavors. Nothing surpasses this combination of Radha and Krishna, the energetic and the energy. When we think of Radha and Krishna, we should immediately think of the exchange of love. What is so difficult to achieve in the material world, what is so frustrating, what requires so much work, the exchange of love. In Krishna Lila, it all happens in the most inconceivably flawless way. Sometimes you hear people say, ordinarily speaking, about their ordinary affairs, we've got to work on our relationship. You never hear Krishna say that. We've got some things we have to work on. That shows you how the material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Krishna has relationships, but he never has to work on them. Even when Srimati Radharani is cross with Krishna, this is all for his pleasure. He likes it when she becomes a little feisty. What married man ordinarily can handle that? Krishna explains in the Shastra that when his fiancées become cross with him, he finds their words of scorn to be more relishable than all the ornamented prayers of the Vedas. So what ordinary mortal could, what ordinary man could say such a thing? That shows you Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Krishna is not stuck up with one kind of love, even in terms of his consorts. As you know, some are submissive and some are very feisty. To give Krishna the complete panorama of experience. Krishna can enjoy a submissive girlfriend, very mild, agreeable, humble, and he can also enjoy very feisty girlfriends who let him know, you know, where he's at. Sort him out. This is God. And that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, he comes under the control of his topmost devotee. That's why we always refer to Krishna's energy first, Radha Krishna. Or, in Krishna's other expansions, Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram. The energetic source agrees to come under the control of the energy. So what makes that energy so qualified that Krishna will come under her control? So this is the secret of Radha Krishna. And this is the innermost secret of Vrindavan. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is under the control of his devotees. And therefore we're interested. What is the nature of that devotee? What is the qualification of that devotee? Who is the number one controller of the Supreme Controller? Who is the controller of Vrindavan? Who is Vrindavaneshri? Must be Mother Yashoda? Yes, you could say that as the wife of Nanda Maharaj. That's the conventional understanding. And Mother Yashoda is the queen of Vrindavan. But those who know the affairs of the forest, what goes on outside of Mother Yashoda's sight, they know who the real controller of Vrindavan is. So again, let us remember that we have a clear possibility of understanding Krishna's dearmost consort because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us not underestimate how much we owe to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, we can have a clear vision of what is Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, in the age of Kali especially, it's practically impossible to understand Krishna. What to speak of understand Srimati Radharani. Our clear understanding is because we're followers through parampara of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna becoming the expert on Srimati Radharani by taking her position, by tasting what she's tasting, by experiencing what she's experiencing. Separation from Krishna. That separation from Krishna is the pinnacle experience of the spiritual world. Therefore, our acharyas, especially the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, always have the consciousness of never attaining Krishna. I like to quote Srila Prabhupada. Talking about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Their mission was never fulfilled. Just think, when you take the spiritual life, you want to be inspired by those who have achieved, attained. You want to think that there's a complete fulfillment of the mission at the end. But now you find out that our topmost acharyas, their mission was never fulfilled. How is that? They never said, now I've got Krishna. Krishna was always just ahead. This is also seen in Lord Chaitanya. He would almost get Krishna, and then Krishna would be gone. So this is the life of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Krishna was always just ahead. They never said, now we've got Krishna, we've got him contained. They're always feeling separation from Krishna. Therefore, Srinivasacharya says in his prayers, Hey Radhe, Raja Devike, Chalalite, Hey Nanda Sunokuta. Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, where are you? Son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you? Lalita, where are you? Are you on the bank of the Jamuna River? Are you on top of Govardhan Hill? Where are you? These are the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, teaching us that separation from Krishna is the highest. And Srimati Radharani is the topmost emblem for feeling separation from Krishna. That separation, remember, produces a feeling of anticipation that can't be rivaled by any meeting with Krishna. You can slightly understand that based on your material experience, when you really anticipated something. I think the only example I can remember is when you're a little kid and you're anticipating Christmas because of all the presents you're going to get. That feeling of anticipation is so thick in the air. That gives you a tiny glimpse into why Krishna separates himself from his devotees. In that separation, he's actually giving himself to the devotees even more. But you can't understand that from the material point of view. So the deepest mystery of bhakti are the feelings of separation as shown by Srimati Radharani. And those feelings of separation felt by Srimati Radharani, that's particularly what Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to explore. He wanted to feel that himself. What is she going through? Anticipating meeting me again. What is she going through? Not being with me after being with me for a while. What is it like? That is Lord Chaitanya. And similarly, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, they presented that mood, that this is our parampara. This is the way the parampara is going to go on. Where is Krishna? Where are you? Krishna is never to be considered captured. In that way, one has the most powerful experience of love of God. So this is how deep bhakti is. Yet we have to approach this depth very cautiously. Therefore, we strive to capture Srimati Radharani's attention by pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives. By pleasing Lord Chaitanya and his representatives, we know that Srimati Radharani will eventually be kind upon us. If we can do our devotional service with proper consciousness, we don't care how long it takes. Yet, it's all worth it when Srimati Radharani notices our service. That is our goal. That is our aspiration. And as we said, when she notices our service, she can make the recommendation to Krishna. The most astonishing recommendation to Krishna. Krishna, this devotee is better than me. How can Srimati Radharani say that a devotee is better than her, but that is the inner dynamic of the topmost reality in the spiritual world. She actually thinks like that and recommends, Krishna, you please accept this devotee. This devotee is better than me. You're so attached to me, but this devotee is better. As you know, directly in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Radharani's name is not mentioned. Her activities are there. Her qualities can be perceived in the description of Krishna Lila, Krishna's interactions with his devotees. But directly, her name is not there, as Srimati Radharani. In that way, Shukadeva Goswami is letting us know this is the most elevated subject matter. And also, Shukadeva Goswami is protecting himself. Because if he would mention the name of Srimati Radharani while speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Prichit Maharaj, he would have lost his composure completely. So in order to do his service of speaking Bhagavatam, and in order to indicate how elevated this subject matter is, Shukadeva Goswami didn't 100% enunciate her name. So these are the depths of bhakti. There's consideration of proper decorum, not wanting to cause persons to take things cheaply. And there's also consideration of the ecstasy of an exalted devotee, Shukadeva Goswami. He had a service to do, to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. If he spoke the name of Srimati Radharani, he would have lost the plot, as we say. You can see a trace of that kind of ecstasy in the third canto of Bhagavatam, when Uddhava is questioned about Krishna. He temporarily lost track of where he was. Just by hearing a question about Krishna, he actually lost his earthly existence and was in the spiritual world. It took him a while to come back to the earthly plane so he could answer the questions. So what to speak of? Shukadeva Goswami explaining Rasa Lila. We're aspiring for the mercy of Srimati Radharani through Parampara. And that's why we crave devotional service. I often explain that when you speak about the flood of love of God unleashed by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you're speaking about the flood of devotional service. Without devotional service, where is the love of God? This is why any devotee takes so seriously his or her devotional service. That is your conduit for making your appeal to up through Parampara to Radha and Krishna. It's your service. So therefore, a vibrant and dynamic bhakti community always takes devotional service as the all in all. The mission to please Krishna's representative. Because that service is the only way to attract Krishna's attention. By her service, Srimati Radharani, as the topmost devotee, attracts Krishna's attention so much so that he becomes under her control. We can make the best use of today by thinking about, what is my service? How are my senses engaged in devotional service? How am I lacking? How is my service to Krishna lacking? The more seriously that we as a devotee community take devotional service, the more we are making progress on the road to capturing Srimati Radharani's attention. And we don't know how long it will take. We don't care. We don't put a time frame, a time limitation on Krishna or Krishna's dearest devotee. They're not like, you know, a train station, you know. Well, the train was supposed to come at 4 o'clock. It's now 4:15. Krishna is the most expert in reciprocating with his devotees. So when his devotee, Srimati Radharani, wants to glance upon our service, it's actually not a time consideration. Does real love have a time consideration? We should think about that. We're so time bound. Oh, for 2 years now, I've been chanting Hare Krishna. Where is Radha Krishna? I did a marathon for 1 week. Where's the glance of Krishna's dearest devotee upon me? How long is it going to take? Just think, that's not love. Real love is not time bound. And people do, as conditioned souls, have that aspiration for love that's not time-bound. Remember the pop songs of the 50s? They don't sing like that anymore. It's all cynical these days. Forever. My father used to, when he was a teenager, courting my mother, they were teenagers, they used to sing her a song, "I will love you always." In other words, you want that feeling of love unimpeded by time. Forever. Yet, we're such hypocrites. Even though we want love beyond time, when it comes to Krishna and getting the mercy of Krishna's devotee, we always got our watch out. How long is it going to take? So devotional service gives you the chance to get beyond time, to get out of this time trap. You just serve for the sake of serving. And that is Srimati Radharani's mercy, that you just serve for the sake of serving. You're not worried about time. You're not holding that gun up to Krishna, a time gun. In this way, a devotee tastes immortality, and the devotee gets full knowledge, and the devotee tastes the deepest bliss. Once you get out of that time-bound framework, I've done this for Krishna for X amount of time. Now what is Krishna going to do? Isn't it about time Krishna noticed me? Devotional service is giving you access to timelessness. Because true love can only be experienced outside of time. That's all. The only way that love becomes unconditional, when there's not the time gun held to the head of the beloved, the lover. In material relationships, that time gun is always pointed at the head. What have you done for me lately? It's all about time. It's calculations based on time. But bhakti is taking you out of that box, out of that trap. And devotional service is the key. And it's that devotional service by which you have the possibility of attracting Srimati Radharani's attention. So this is a devotional service celebration day. Let us aspire today how our service can be more full and complete and more pleasing. And we need the association of devotees to do that. In the association of devotees, our service becomes honed, it becomes improved, it becomes polished, renovated. So it's not that, you know, devotees are just a pain in the neck. You may feel like that sometimes. But we have to understand what is the deeper significance of our associating with devotees. Otherwise, we can just whimsically drop it or very dangerously veer away from the association of devotees because we don't understand what is it that devotees can do for us. First of all, you need the association of devotees to hear and chant about Krishna, because in their association, the taste of hearing and chanting increases. And then secondly, you need the association of devotees because by serving, by doing devotional service in the association of devotees, your service improves. I always point out an amazing thing about the Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Whatever you're doing, whatever kind of service you're doing, at that very moment, you can know that somewhere else in the ISKCON world, someone's doing that service better. And at the very moment that you're doing so. Prabhupada's ISKCON Society is so big that you can rest assured, whether you're cooking or speaking, making kirtan, whatever, right at the same moment somewhere in the ISKCON world, so at least one person's doing the service better. Very humbling. So again, let us stress devotional service today because that is what Srimati Radharani is. She's the emblem, the highest emblem of serving Krishna, so much so that Krishna becomes bewildered by her. That's how attractive her service is. So we should increase our hankering for service today. Analyze our service portfolio, see what's there, what's missing. Today, I give you permission that you can, what do you call those picket signs when people are on strike? When they're marching up and down on strike. You can march in front of the President's door. We need more service. We don't have enough devotional service. I give you permission. You can protest.
I give you permission as well.
What kind of place is this? We don't have enough service. What do you think? That's how you make your life successful. So Srimati Radharani is the highest emblem of devotional service. Therefore, Krishna becomes under.